We're the only program originating in Houston devoted to live storytelling, and we're right here on listener-sponsored 90.1 KPFT Houston. I'm Warren Holloman. Tonight I'll be your host, and each week Hank, Greg, Mary, Tatiana, and I, along with our extended, blended, and sometimes mended family of guest hosts and guest storytellers, celebrate the power of story by bringing you remarkable tellers who take us on captivating journeys and bring us safely home. And speaking of captivating journeys, Hank, are you playing Santa, or is there something in that bag you want to tell us about?
We are not playing Santa, but Santa is being played on us. These unbelievable kids tonight. And by the way, I have to tell everybody that you guys better contact us next year. Don't get lost. I know you live in other countries, but we're going to go find you if you don't contact us. I just wanted to let you know. This guest list of yours tonight, Warren, collected several hundred single dollar bills in these bags for us.
Wow.
For our fun drive. And I could just kind of stop right there, and you know how terribly meaningful that is. I told Paul, who facilitated all of this, Paul Topekian, that I was in tears earlier, and that was no exaggeration. I was. This is unbelievable, and it just tells our listeners, the kind of young people who are going to be sharing narratives with them this evening, this is one special show because this is one special group of people.
Tonight marks the final night of our spring fun drive.
It does.
And coming prepared in this way is quite meaningful to us because we are listener-sponsored, and I guess we're storyteller-sponsored too because these storytellers have brought us this huge bag. Thank you so much. If you'd like to donate, call 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. And if you call now, we can continue to do what we do best, bringing you great stories. And speaking of bringing great stories, Hank hosted a program back in January. He just referred to that program that featured high school exchange students from all over the world. It was our first program of the new year, and it was one of those shows that put a smile on your face and a skip in your step. Students shared their hopes and their dreams for the future. We learned their impressions of our home state and our home city, and they told stories about being teenagers, whether in America or in their home countries. And tonight, they're back, at least most of them. Purit Lerpetunpan, Maddie Postlethwaite, Adolfo Vega Valdez, Pearl Tong Thong, Ola Verhul, and joining them is Paul Topekian, their AFS-sponsored mentor and a relentless supporter of our program, and he is Pooh's host dad. That's his primary role, but he's served as a mentor in so many other ways as well. And if you've listened to the show, you know he's also just one of our favorite storytellers. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to So What's Your Story?
Hey.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
We're going to start things off with a story from Pooh. He's from Bangkok, Thailand. He spent his year abroad at Lamar High School, and he loves computers and music, pizza, and ramen. I also just happen to know he's a courageous and talented young man because a month ago I was at the Moth. He put his name in the bag and stood up in front of 300-plus people, all of whom were older of him than him, and in his second language told a story. What was it like for you to walk up on the stage in front of that huge crowd with that spotlight staring you in the face?
Okay, thank you, Warren. So at that day, I was nervous.
Uh-huh.
I usually was not this nervous before, but that day I am. It was new thing for me to do.
I think that's a normal feeling. Okay? That's not
maybe.
When you were on our show in January, you talked about being a huge Rockets fan, and we all shared your optimism at that time. Paul told me that the day the Rockets were eliminated, you soothed your sorrow by attending Comic Palooza at George R. Brown Convention Center. What is it you like most about Comic Palooza?
So in Comic Palooza, it's the thing that I also like aside from sports, which is gaming too. They have this on the third floor. Mm-hmm. And what I did is I play some games I didn't play for a while. I watch some competition and I meet some people that I admire in the field.
Cool. And you bought a sword. How are you going to get that home?
I don't know. Probably slice it in half.
With another sword?
With another sword.
Now, I gather that you not only enjoy watching basketball, but you also enjoy playing it because your story is about an experience one afternoon while playing pickup basketball.
Yes. The story begins, though, with a plain decision one Sunday morning that I just want to play some basketball, I think to myself. But looking back on that day, the story would not happen if I just stay home. But on that day, I was walking to the basketball court, and when I was there, I met some kids, three of them, middle-easterns, also middle schoolers whom I know. From past experience, I know they're misfits, they're aggressive, but we never had problems to each other before, until this day. It all started when one of the boys asked me, "Do you know what this word means?" And he says some word, probably in Vietnamese, and I don't understand. So I replied, "I don't know, which should be the end of it." As we play, though, one of them shoot an air ball. The boy said, "Go pick it up to me." And I replied, "No." Because the simple school ground rules are, you shoot it, you pick it up. Easy. But then, when he pick it up, he shout at me that word that he asked me initially. I don't know what it means, but it seems like an insult, though. And maybe a racist slur, but I don't know. Then I was practicing shooting, and one of the boys was trying to time his shot so that the ball would hit my ball, messing it up. But I noticed, so I pump fake, and he fall for it and released his shot early. I was happy that I fooled him, and as he had made a trash comment to me earlier, I was talking trash to him back, mumbling under my breath, "Take that, USOB." Then he shout, "What do you say?" And I realized that I get a little bit too far, so I say, "I'm sorry," I take it back, but still, he repeat what he said, louder and louder, and I also repeat my reply, "Sorry," I take it back. Things get heated, but cool off until his friend, who is black, comes. They shake hands, they seem to have some ideas. The kid who arrived was kind of a good friend to me, but then he said, "Why you said the N-word?" I was shocked and surprise. All I can reply at that time is, "What?" I know that I talked trash to the kids, but I didn't say that word. I would never say that word. That's what I'm against my whole life. What they did is trying to get back at me with a lie. But the way that they did it, it was too far and uncalled for. Then I say, "I would never say that word." But then the kids, four of them, do not give up. They keep asking, "Why you say it? Why you say it?" over and over. If that would make it true, then they threaten me, like I would call my dad, or everyone in Lamar would know this, in which I stand my ground. But after too many times repeating the question, I get angry. My response gets more heated. But what I realized at that time, I didn't though, but they actually doesn't care what my response is. The goal is to just piss me off and ultimately to bait me to actually say something bad. And as the saying goes, they play me like a fiddle. The clock in me is ticking. It almost reaches limits. But after all, after repeating and repeating, I had enough. I rush toward one kid. I pull my arms back, ready to unleash. If I had punched them, of course, they outnumber me 4-1. But I'll probably lose and get sent to ER. But at least they will know their lesson. Yeah. But then, my conscience kick at me. Is this really worth it? I think. They will get what they actually want. This is what they want. They want me to lose my cool. And also, you get sent back to Thailand. And the reason would be domestic violence. Ooh. And brought shame to your country. All this thing considered, I stop. And when I stop, it stopped. Then I leave thinking, did I read the right thing? In my mind, I think I did the right thing. But still, I cried coming home. For the first time in the United States, I was mad that I got discriminated in the way I never imagined it to happen. people said that I'm a racist, even though I wasn't. It was unimaginable. This taught me that no matter where you are, there is all type of people. People who will tease you. People who will insult you or discriminate you. But always, there's a silver lining. After a few weeks, a friend that I know, who is black, asked me to come to the court and play with him. He confronted the kids, and I will never forget this. He said to them that, I've known Poole for a year, and he would never do that, man. And that touched me. I know that there's hope in this world. And those kids, who's trying to frame me as a villain, maybe they succeed in their groups, but not to the others, who got my back. It took me a long time for me to decide to tell the stories. My host dad and I have talked about it a lot, and I decide I need to. I wrote this story to show everyone that sometimes you can face some unfortunate events and that not everyone will be good to you. It also shows that sometimes the best lesson we learn the hard. Fighting just bring more fighting. Sometimes you need to turn your back and walk away. But the reason I said this is because I just want all of you out there thinking of being exchange student to remember that this is one of the things that you may face. I was not trying to scare you, but I was want you to have a resolve and mentally prepared for the unfortunate things that can happen to you. I hope that none of this thing that I said today will ever happen to any one of you. Thank you.
Pooh, that was a difficult situation for a high school sophomore, and it's not an easy story for anyone to tell, even the most seasoned storyteller. So I want to compliment you for, I can tell you put a lot of work in constructing that story and telling it. Thank you. I think the thing that I get out of that story, and I think a lot of our listeners also, is that you've shown that through storytelling, we can transform some of life's most difficult and painful and sometimes unjust moments and scary moments into transformative life experiences.
Yes.
And I'd like to follow up someday with you as you look back on that experience and the ways that it did transform you. But I think you've helped transform our listeners' thinking as well. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next storyteller is Maddie Postlethwaite. Unlike the others on tonight's show, Maddie grew up here in Houston, well, Katy to be specific, but through the AFS Student Exchange Program. She spent a year abroad in the Philippines, and she returned to spend this past year as a junior at Tompkins High School in Katy. What was it like for you to spend a year in the Philippines?
Well, it was definitely a learning experience,
uh-huh.
to say the least.
Give us an example or a way that it was a learning experience.
Especially for me trying to learn the language. That uh-huh. was so hard for me. I didn't know any words or just yeah. any part of the language before I went there.
You were brave.
Thank you.
So what's the name of your story? What's your story about?
Okay, so my story begins actually at the end of my exchange year. In April of 2018,
mm-hmm.
when myself and a few other exchange students were on our way to a volunteering trip in Manila Bay,
mm-hmm.
we were told that beforehand that this place is in the slums and most of the adults here make money by digging through trash and selling the items they find. Mm-hmm. So this place is characterized by the huge pile of trash that the adults go through. And we were warned actually not to make any faces or comments about the smell. Ironically, this place is called Happy Land, which I realized later was because of the people and their ability to remain positive despite having a lack of basic resources. So when we got there, personally, I was surprised that everybody was excited to see us. I didn't think they knew that we were coming, but we were immediately met with open arms and huge smiles from the kids. The first thing we did was go into a building where we gave the kids some juice that was high in nutrients, as well as give them some vaccines. So one thing I took from that part of my trip was that things as simple as a proper diet and vaccinations are something that is taken for granted by some people here in the United States, and we often fail to recognize that it is these things that are considered you know, so simple to us that are so valuable to another kid, whether it's across the Pacific, across a border, or maybe an hour away from you. Later on in that day, we had the opportunity to just hang out and play with the kids. We brought coloring books, card games, and we just danced with them. It was really great to see how they had so much fun without things like technology and other things that a lot of kids depend on around the world. So from this experience as a whole, I was able to use my learning from my whole exchange year and how it culminated in the understanding of the importance of family and gratitude and simplicity in Filipino culture. A lot of people there greatly value, you know, just being able to spend time with their family and like talking about their experiences, their day, whether it's over a meal or it's for 5 minutes before they go out and do something else. I also learned that there's a lot of simplicity to life that here in the United States, we don't see a lot anymore. Now it's, you know, kind of a day-to-day routine. It's very formulated. But rather than that, over here in Happy Land in Manila Bay, people just, you know, live day to day, trying to make a living, find their next warm meal and things like that.
That was such a compelling story. And it's the kind of story we bring. Yes. And this, I'm going to ask you about it in a minute, but I've got to do my little pitch for donations first. I'm exploiting your story for money. Okay. it's an American thing. That was such a compelling story. It's the kind of story we bring you every week on So What's Your Story? But we can only continue to do that with your support. And today is the last day of Spring Fund Drive. So one more reminder to our listeners, please give us a call, 713-526-5738. And yes, that was a compelling story. And you took us to that garbage heap. through the description, through what you even didn't say, that you were not supposed to comment on the smell.
Right.
But by saying that, we knew that even what it, not just what it looked like, but what it smelled like. What would you say to an American student who is thinking of studying abroad?
I would say don't be afraid to take the risk. It's not a very common thing in the United States that students choose to study abroad. But it's okay to be different and do something that you might not know a lot about. So just go for it.
And I sense those first few days and weeks must have been really difficult since you didn't know a word of the language.
Yes.
How did you get through that?
I just tried to learn as much as I could. I tried to be as adaptable as possible, even though I was in a completely unfamiliar area with unfamiliar people.
And are you a senior now or junior?
I'm entering my senior year of high school.
All right. Do you know, have ideas of what you'll do after that? Will you travel abroad again?
I want to study abroad again in college. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. That's too far away for now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next storyteller is Adolfo Vega Valdez. Adolfo is from northern Spain. He spent his past year at Energy Institute High School. He loves traveling, he loves tennis, and he loves soccer, which is the prompt for the question I'm going to open up with you, because I'm a soccer fan.
Yeah.
So, how disappointed were you 2 weeks ago when Liverpool came back from 3 goals down, which is unprecedented almost in the world of soccer, to eliminate my favorite team, Barcelona, from the European Championship?
Well, first off, to be honest, I don't support Barcelona. I support my local team, you know.
What's your local team?
It's called Sporting. They're in the second tier.
Yeah.
They're pretty bad, but, you know, you get to appreciate them.
Yeah.
But honestly, it was really disappointing because, like, it had been, like, maybe 10 years of, like, Spanish dominance over the European football, soccer, sorry.
Yeah.
And for once, I guess the British had to win, you know?
Yeah.
So it's fine. They deserved it. They'll be fine. We'll win next year. We have no hurries.
Yeah. For those who aren't soccer fans, there are 3 Spanish teams that have dominated world soccer, and English soccer has not been so dominating. And for the first time this year, they're totally dominating.
Definitely. Definitely.
You're from northern Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Could you give us a 30-second overview of the geography, the people, culture?
Yeah. Well, I'm from a place, northwestern Spain, coastal place called Asturias. I really like the place. I mean, it's not like Madrid or Barcelona. There's maybe less to do. But I feel like it's the underrated part of Spain.
This where San Sebastian is?
It's pretty close, yeah, actually.
Okay.
It's a part many don't appreciate as it's not the big shopping centers, you know? But there is a lot to do, a lot to see. For me, it's a perfect mixture. Mountains, the sea, and a lot of cultural heritage. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I definitely recommend people to go visit it.
Yeah. I almost went there this year.
Mm-hmm.
There was going to be a family wedding there.
Really?
At San Sebastian. And then they moved the site. So, but well, maybe there'll be another wedding.
Never too late.
Your story contrasts your home country of Spain with the United States, especially in the area of opportunities and education. Tell us your story.
Sure. Well, so my story starts when I came, pretty much. That must be August 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So when my host parents picked me up at the airport, well, I was going home, and when I came, basically I looked amazed at all the shining signs, all the huge skyscrapers, and the colorful advertisements. So you'll figure out what this is about. So my hometown in northwestern Spain has barely 80,000 inhabitants. So this huge city exceeded all my expectations regarding size and services and everything, pretty much. So, well, regarding education, once I started school, I was really amazed at all the things you could do beyond class, like volunteering opportunities, many clubs, interesting clubs, and of course internships, especially paid internships. I found that really interesting, as young people in my country are encouraged to focus on studying and social life, pretty traditional, instead of developing other skills. This showed me most Americans have a great skill we Spaniards lack. This is organization. Many might disagree, but overall I've seen there's a lot of activity in the community and people really want to be involved. I really appreciate this, and I wish we did this in Spain. Also, colleges are generally better known, although this does not justify the cost. So you kind of make an idea of this. Tuition in my local university, which is definitely good in Spain, the tuition is less than €2,000, $2,000 a year. So I feel like the cost is really a whole new world. But I really like the focus they had on research, project-based learning, and again, personal development. That's something I really appreciate, and I think that helps you throughout your life and your career, developing, growing as a person. Honestly, this year, my views on education have changed so radically, and I now realize how important a good education is. There are so many opportunities and resources here people take for granted, especially online. For example, websites like TED Talks or Khan Academy are just a few examples I've learned of throughout this year. I've learned so much thanks to these resources, as well as podcasts, online courses, or seminaries. And there are things I totally liked in my hometown and I had never heard of, pretty much. And I can now enjoy them pretty much for free. I've also discovered great books that never crossed the Atlantic, and I absolutely love these books. So, for example, this book called Thinking Fast and Thinking Slow, you might know it. Or another one called Thought as a System. There are books I definitely recommend to anybody. They're on self-growth and, well, they're just life-changing. Well, you might be thinking, it's not all that good, right? This country, it must have something bad. Well, not everything I've seen is so positive. One thing that really surprised me when I came was the American lifestyle. So, well, in Europe, we have this stereotype. I hope you can imagine what it is about. Pretty much going to Walmart with this huge truck just to get a few Oreos or something. And, I mean, sure, it's not like the stereotypes you see in these movies, which pretty much make a... Like, really, the image we have of Americans is totally based on movies. So maybe y'all should change kind of the typical American. But society here, especially in 2019, it's really into comfort and convenience. And I'm afraid this is growing in Europe as well. I actually feel like soon we'll all need an Amazon drone to walk our dog. We'll be too lazy to do it ourselves. And another thing I really miss from Spain, it sounds really dumb, but walking.
Mm-hmm.
I miss being able to, you know, to actually get somewhere walking with your feet and not driving a huge truck.
Right.
But yeah, overall, throughout this year, I've learned a lot of stuff, self-growth, because I've been more independent. And these resources, well, they've just really changed my life for good. I hope so. And yeah, it's just honestly like so much development. I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's just too good.
So thank you, Adolfo. I think the thing I'm going to take from your story is the image you created of getting into a huge pickup truck to go to Walmart to buy a bag of Oreos. That's an example of what we call a motif in storytelling. It's a concrete
really?
Image
yeah.
that says a lot more. It's not telling you just about Oreos
yeah,
and
I
shopping.
Got that.
It's telling you something about the culture. And it's an image that I'll never forget.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, yeah, I hope you all remember that.
Say, you have any other impressions of American high school students?
Well, honestly, they're they're really mature in some things.
Uh-huh.
Like, when I came, they were like, well, you know, I'm doing this internship at Rice University. I'm working 7 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
They're doing stuff that I never thought I could do at age 16.
Yeah.
That's really good, honestly. I mean, I guess there's more of a need
uh-huh.
because they need to afford college. But overall, I feel like that makes them develop earlier. But they are really immature and in other things. And I really think they take these resources and these
uh-huh.
opportunities for granted.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to do in Houston, so many ways to grow and so much to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you should never stop learning here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's... Anything else?
So, I mean, there's this other thing. America, it's going to sound weird, but Americans, they wear really weird clothes. They look common, like pajamas
uh-huh.
and like colorful pajamas. There's people coming who...
You don't like my pajamas tonight?
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. Don't worry.
Okay.
But there's people who come and I'm just like, is it Halloween today or something? I'm really surprised sometimes. But yeah, that's something I was really surprised when I came.
Is that at Walmart or everywhere?
Oh, I guess both. Honestly, uh-huh. everywhere.
Yeah.
You can see it everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my daughter spent 3 years in Spain, and I have
mm-hmm.
to say the coffee there is the best.
Mm-hmm.
You all made me coffee addicts for life. So
really?
Thank you.
Sure.
If you're just tuning in, this is So What's Your Story on 90.1 FM KPFT. You can catch us at 89.5 in Galveston and 91.9 in Huntsville. Also online at www.kpft.org, or you can watch us on Facebook Live. Of course, there's only one way we can stay on the radio and online, and that's if we continue to get the support of our listeners, because we are literally listener-sponsored radio. Is that right, Hank?
It is right indeed. You know, you guys kill me. I love these stories for a lot of reasons. Adolfo, you think that we lack organizational skills. We'll open up a container store in Spain, and you've got it, right? There's your career
yeah.
plan. And you were talking about the British finally having to win something. I need you to know that here in America, we know they won a couple of wars. Take that with you. I just wanted you to know that.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take that.
Oh,
I'll take
my God,
that.
You guys are fabulous. You know, we, Warren knows this, we often say that stories stretch the boundaries of the human heart, but this crowd, all of you, I'm going to miss you guys so much. And, you know, you're the group that really stretched those boundaries just by who you are. And that is enormously special. I want our listeners to know that these are the sorts of things that they are paying for, really. I mean, this is our last night of a fun drive. And it's best to give us a call at 713-526-5738 because The world needs to hear that we have fans. If you're not a phone person, well, you can go online, you can go in line, or you can go out of line, or you can be in a lineup with Pooh. It doesn't make any difference. Just go to kpft.org, donations, and then go ahead and scroll over to So What's Your Story to let us know that we are the show that you are designating to receive your support. But it's best not to be silent about something really important. By the way, did Pooh get that? You know, in a lineup with Pooh, did he get that? I just wanted to let him know. Little joke. Okay. In any event, but let's not be silent about our Tatiana, who graduated with honors this last weekend. So everybody, let's hear it.
Way to go, Tatiana.
Yeah, that's all me. So thank you. I'm just kind of letting all of you know what to do. Very good. Tatiana rocks. She's going to graduate school in communication. She's going to be with us forever.
I'm not going anywhere.
No, that's right. And we do have, long as we have this opportunity, Enrique is going to be joining us in the fall. Terrific young man. He was on as a guest a couple of weeks ago, and he's going to be terrific. He's going to be working back up with Tatiana, because she does deserve a vacation once in a while. I mean, she's overpaid, but nevertheless, once in a while, she gets a little bit of a vacation. And this is a sad night to see all of you go. But please, once again, 713-526-5738. Please give us a call. Jam KPFT. We want to hear your voice. The amount that you give doesn't really matter. It's the fact that you're calling in to let us know that you're listening and that you care for us to stay on the line for the rest of our lives, stay on this eclectic station. In the meantime, Warren, back to you. You're doing a great job, and thank you.
And thank you. We do have someone to thank, Dr. Michael Schaefer. Thank you so much for your contribution. Dr. Schaefer actually called in as we were going off the air last week, and we wanted to thank him today. And also, as Hank mentioned earlier, we have a big thank you for these students and Paul Topekian who've come in with literally a bag full of money. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. Tatiana?
Well, let's begin with our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild. The Guild hosts a story swap the fourth Tuesday of every month at Temple Emanuel, right across from Rice University. That's next Tuesday, May 28th. It's a great place to meet other storytellers, hear stories, or try out a story of your own. The atmosphere is always relaxed, friendly, and fun. And if you visit the Guild's website, you'll see all of our past So What's Your Story programs with nearly 500 stories to listen to. Just click on the radio programs tab and you'll be in story heaven. And if you're a fan of the Moths, then prepare to be happy. Coming up in June, we'll have two Moth events here in Houston. The regular monthly Story Slam at Warehouse Live, and also the annual Houston Grand Slam, which will be June 19th at a new venue, Bayou Place. And we're also excited that the Moth is featuring one of Warren's stories this week on the Moth Radio Hour. Tune in to our sister station, 88.7 KUHF, Saturday at noon to hear Warren's story, which has the intriguing title, It's Your Job to Hold Your Baby. This is a story Warren performed last year at the Majestic Theater in San Antonio. And the Moth liked it so much, they selected it for their weekly show. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm pretty thrilled they're going to be playing it this weekend. For you young people out there, this is a story I've been working on for guess how long? 30 years.
Wow.
It took me 30 years to figure out how to tell this story. It was one of those life moments that I knew was important, but how to compress it into a 5-minute story is another challenge.
You know, every story is worth listening to, but you have to listen to Warren's story. You have to. This one is one of the most poignant narratives about human love that you'll ever hear. And that is no hyperbole. You have to listen to Warren's story this noon, Saturday.
Thanks, guys. Well, tonight I'm excited to be listening to stories from these students, high school students from all over the world. And our next storyteller is Pearl Tongthong. Pearl is from Bangkok, Thailand. She spent this past year at Lamar High School. She enjoys reading books, singing songs, watching movies, and taking photos. Pearl.
Yeah.
Of all the movies you've seen lately, what would you recommend?
Well, I would love to say Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, because it's a movie I was looking forward to see it since, like, 2016. It's the prequel of the Harry Potter.
Oh, okay.
And the story takes place in Paris and probably, like, 70 years before Harry Potter at Winters. Yeah.
And have you read the Harry Potter books as well, or seen the movies?
I'm a big fan, so
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, your story is about words and languages and the misunderstandings that can occur when you function in a second language. I haven't heard the story yet, so I'm giving it the working title, Lost in Translation.
Great. So knowing languages opens door to the worlds beyond. They're fascinating, but they can also be frightening. Once you become somewhat fluent in that your brain is not constantly in translation mode, it is still one of the major challenges for exchange students to communicate and understand the cultural difference around the world. Between the speakers of any languages, there is always variation in the way they use the language. It is also the same in English language. Despite how much the USA and UK have in common, there are enough differences between their two versions of English language that someone may not always understand exactly what someone is saying. And within the US, I've learned that regions of the country use different words for the same meaning. Sack for bag, pot for soda, and then throw in some y'alls, fixing too, and might could. And well, what could I say other than it's a foreign language again? I've been studying abroad in the United Kingdom and New Zealand several times and have been studying with British native speakers in my Thai school. I always embrace English in many ways by not concerning the certain differences. From plenty of times growing up and being correct by using the letter U in the word mum, I realize that it is time to choose a side to prevent confusion. Even though I switch to stick with American English, partly because of my accent and being an exchange student in the United States, some British English words from my childhood messed me up. My American friends always be confused when I call a jumper instead of a sweater, or a bin instead of a trash can. But the misinterpretation between the differences could not have been worse than that when one day I was talking with my host family about my childhood birthday parties. I said I gave rubbers to everyone on my first grade birthday party. Rubbers in the UK are used by all school children to correct written mistakes. But here in the US as well, I think you get the point. But what happens when my hearing worked decently and the translation is okay, but it still makes no sense? The very beginning of my winter started with a little confusion that I flew all the way across the world from Bangkok to Dubai and finally to Dallas. I was very tired from long flights, but so was happy that I was finally here in the United States. I had one more flight to go, Dallas to Houston. It would be short, not even an hour. While I was waiting, I should have tried to get a little sleep, but I was too excited and just couldn't. Pooh and other two Japanese students fell asleep that made all of us almost miss the flight. During the flight to Houston, the plane started to land and it went back up several times. A moment later, the pilot mumbled something on the intercom in English. At that time, I couldn't put the words together. I knew that something was not right because passengers around me started talking and acting weirdly, which made me very nervous. So what's going on? When the plane landed, the pilot said something again. This time, I paid 100% concentration on his voice. I heard gas and Austin. I was like, what is wrong with my English ear? Or is it just because of his mumbling? But why, there's nobody walking out of the plane now. They were just standing and being mad. I was like, WTF. So I immediately checked the service on my phone and texted my parents back home. Luckily, they saw my text right away. They told me to calm down and to ask people around there. I asked a guy, and he told me that we needed to stay in Austin for a couple of hours because Houston has bad weather. I felt more relief after knowing that, but still a lot of questions were in my head, like, does anyone from AFS know about this? What about my host family who's waiting? At that point, I thought, okay, I guess I'm really on my own now. Then we finally took off and landed in Houston late. I can't tell you how relieved I was to be home. From the past almost 10 months in the United States as an exchange student, it has been an incredible journey for me. I need to be very independent throughout the year. I've grown amazingly from all of the experiences, whether it's good, bad, sad, or fun. I have more confidence in myself to navigate the world, and it is not so foreign anymore. Now comes the time when we start preparing to head home. While Thailand is my home country, it will probably feel a bit foreign after 10 months in Houston. Pooh, I, and the other Thai students will fly back from Houston to Dallas to Dubai and to Bangkok. I sure hope it doesn't divert it again, because landing anywhere but in Bangkok, well, that would be a very foreign country.
Pearl, your story, I think, is really helpful for those of us who don't travel as much as we should, pointing out the how stressful it can be to be in a foreign country where you have to function in a new language. How stressful is it?
I mean, it could be stressful in the very first place, but as the days go by, it will be better and you get used to it. I think the key is just keep practicing.
Well, you're courageous to just jump in with both feet and give it a try, though, because it sounds like, I remember from Maddie's story as well, those first few weeks sound like you could get a little depressed.
Yeah.
Well, I compliment you for doing
you.
This. And it was worth it, right?
Yes, definitely.
And speaking of being worth it, I think Hank has some good news to share about our spring fund drive.
I do. And the first thing I'd like to do, however, is to introduce somebody that everybody needs to know. Would you please?
Hi there. My name's Kelly Nugent, and I am the local area staff person at AFS who's lucky enough to work with all of these incredible kids.
A person that we didn't mention, and we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Kelly is so instrumental in cultivating these kids in every conceivable way, and I want to give her the honor of thanking our first donor.
I would like to give a big thank you to Patrick Nugent, who coincidentally has the same last name for us.
Oh, wow.
Very generous donation, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick, so much. And we have another very generous, very consistent donor, whose last name is Anonymous. And she always does this because of her generosity of heart, and we want to thank her so much for her generous, generous donation. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Anonymous, and thank you, Patrick. And thank you, Kelly, for giving us this opportunity to hear these stories from all around the world. And, of course, Paul, he's a host dad, but he's a little more than that. He's really a storytelling mentor. That's the way I see it. Our final storyteller this evening is Ola Verhul.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Ola's home is in a farming region of the Netherlands. She spent this past year, though, in a very urban setting at Waltrip High School. She enjoys cycling, skateboarding, listening to music, and going on spontaneous adventures with her friends. Now, I use the term skateboarding because that's what I grew up with, but that's not the term you used when you were telling me about your hobbies.
Yeah, that's right. I usually use the word longboarding because skateboarding is more like doing tricks and stuff, while longboarding is done on a way bigger board with bigger and softer wheels just to cruise around and get to places, and it's not about tricks at all.
It's a really, like a bicycle kind of. It's a mode of transportation.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. You've told me that you like adventures. You like being with your friends. You like spontaneity. Could you give us an example of such an adventure?
Once after like a small get together with friends, we decided to just go driving and ended up hanging out in front of the Toyota Center for hours and hours, just skating around and talking. And because of that day, we became a very small, very close group of friends, and I absolutely love the people to death, and I definitely consider them a part of my family.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that longboard was a what I call a relational vehicle, and that's kind of a pun,
yep.
But it brought people together.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, that's really nice. So Ola, your story is a story in the form of a poem, and it's a poem you've written that kind of pulls together what the Year Abroad program is all about. I can't wait to hear it.
Well, I remember so clearly, so vividly, my dad's tear-stained face but vibrant smile as I stepped away from him one last time that year. I also remember, a few months before, how he just came back from America from a 2-week work trip, and as I made sure that I talked him up to date of life that hadn't changed, and oh, Dad, furthermore, can I go to the States for a couple days more than you did? His eyes got big, and he looked at my mom, and when he saw she knew exactly what was going on, he knew he didn't have a chance to say no. Because Dad trusts me, but above all, Dad trusts Mom. When I want to do crazy stuff he knows nothing about. Because he knows I get the crazy from my mom, and Mom knows what crazy can do to you, because she's been through it all. My dad's simple. He's different, but always the same routine of work and bike and food and sleep, and work and bike and food and sleep, and now and then a little trip to work and bike and food and sleep somewhere else for once. To come back after a week and be so happy he can work and bike and food and sleep in his own house again. He and I might be different in how we see the future, but he knows me like nobody else could ever try to. Which is why I remember a few months before when he just came back from America from a 2-week work trip, and his eyes got big, but my eyes got bright. And he saw that, and that was the click. Because he knew how I had to go off on my own, begin my own life somewhere else. He just hadn't expected it this soon and this far, but knew I'd be right back in his arms a year later, all grown up and changed, but still little and the same. He knew I'd come back, the same girl he knew through and through, and raised with the clear intention of, one day she's going to leave. There's no question in that matter. So I can either keep her for myself, let nothing hurt her, keep her smooth and pretty and perfect, or I can let her make her own mistakes and learn and get hurt and fall and break all under my roof. So when my roof is no longer there, she knows what to do. Because the skin over a scar is so much stronger than unbroken skin could ever dream to be. So he let me grow up. And slowly he realized this plan was only the start of the adventure I was ready to call life. Because slowly he realized that work and bike and food and sleep would drive me crazier than I already was. Because you can't put a fish in water and expect it not to swim. You can't give a king a fortune and expect him not to feast. You can't put me into the world and expect me not to make it my own. So he stood there, tears running over his cheeks, looking at me like I had already gone through this whole year and grew into my body, like I had already evolved into myself just by making the choice of diving into the deep. And I can't believe how proud he looked.
Oh, my. So if you're listening to this show, this is the type of story we can bring you every week, but in the poetry form, with your youthfulness. You're listening to a young talent, folks.
<Thank you. laughs>
That was just incredible. What would you like our listeners to take from your poem?
I want anyone that has listened just to know that it's okay to take risks and do the things that will truly make you happy, and to trust your gut and have enough faith in the people around you to know that they'll support you no matter what. And the rest will follow.
Mm. And have your parents heard this poem?
They have. I've sent it to them.
Oh. Yeah. Have you heard a response yet? Or?
My dad said that he cried about it, too. Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
So when your father cried, either in this poem, that mm-hmm. in the event you describe in the poem, or when you sent it to him, that must have meant a lot to you.
It did. It really did. Like, saying goodbye to him at the airport, it was hard seeing him cry, but it was a good reminder to see how much he cared and how much he loves me.
This is a totally unfair question, but do you have a sense of whether American fathers are in touch with their feelings the way...
Here, I'm in a host family that's uh-huh. just a single mom, mm-hmm. so I don't think I have a very good perspective on that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that's an issue that a lot of us think about and wonder about, but I compliment your father for expressing his feelings toward you
yeah.
in such an honest way.
Mm-hmm.
It says a lot. Now that we've heard from all these wonderful students, their stories from literally all over the world, I'm going to bring in Paul Topikian. He's, as I said, he's Pooh's host father. He's also a mentor of sorts for these students. And Paul, how did you get involved with the AFS program?
Well, we had been living in Guatemala for about 3 years at one point in time, and it was such a transformational experience for us, and it was so good for our kids. When we came back, and a neighbor asked us, would you be interested in, being a welcome family, mm-hmm. for a couple of, two, three, 4 weeks, we said, sure, we'll do it. And, it turned out that Manuela, who we were welcoming, ended up living with us for 10 months. So mm-hmm. From there on in, we were pretty much hooked. And mm-hmm. It's been, you can see, Warren, these kids, what they experience, what they learn, the growth that goes on, it's just so amazing.
Yeah. Could you share with our listeners an experience or maybe set of experiences that shows how powerful this exchange program can be?
Well, I would go back to, Pooh's story this, mm-hmm. Or at the very beginning of the show.
Yeah. The incident on the basketball court.
Yeah. I mean, that's a, that's a tough thing for a kid to go through.
Yeah.
And when he came back to the house, he was pretty distraught. And, I'm his dad. I went marching up to the playground. Of course, mm-hmm. the kids weren't there.
Yeah.
And, but that whole, seeing the pain of what he went through, and then kind of watching him kind of go through that, and now to hear him tell this story and mm. to have the learnings that he's taken. To me, this is just, it's what this program is all about, AFS, mm-hmm. and B, it's what this program is all about. Because I really do, I do think the process of telling stories and sharing stuff is just an incredible way to learn and to become more of a person. It just fills mm-hmm. you out. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I said in response to his story was how through constructing that narrative, he was able to transform what could have been a devastating experience into something that is a life lesson and hopefully will give his visit here more meaning and make him a better person in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's, that's an example. Listening to stories, Maddie's story from back in January about, going over to the Philippines and not having a clue about what was going on and ending up in this sort of family group, very awkward shower situation. When I see these kids go through this stuff, it's sort of shocking to me. Now as a host parent, it's an interesting experience. We've had Pooh is our sixth kid that we've hosted, and they all become part of the family. And on one level, it's wonderful. And on another level, we have a teenager in the house and sort of, replaying the whole thing of having another 15, 16 year old is, you want to shoot yourself sometimes, but it's also a pretty good thing. And Pooh's putting a gun to his head and he understands what I'm talking about. But, that's the good news, bad news of host parenting. Mm-hmm. You get to be a parent, you get to experience all this joy. You also get to play the heavy. Mm-hmm. Manuela, the Italian girl who first came to live with us, she's wonderful. We're in touch with her. It's been 7 years. She's doing phenomenal stuff. She's working for Gucci in Florence. I mean, it's really astounding. Mm-hmm. And she was a very quiet, shy person who, when she came here, was very much to herself. But to see how much she's blossomed. But she also, I'll never forget this. She accused the maid at one point in time of having taken her iPod. And we were like, we know the maid. The maid's been with us for 4 or 5 years. You know, the maid didn't take the iPod. Manuela goes to school, and, you know, Liz and I decide we're going to go in Manuela's room and figure out where the iPod went. And so we pull the bed back against from the wall, and there's the iPod. Mm-hmm. And then we look at the side window, and there's this huge stash of cigarette butts. Manuela's been secretly smoking in a room, which just totally drove me crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's another example of just, you know, okay, so now I've got this child I need to have a very, you know, with a conversation with, but she hasn't been with us for that long. So how do you play all that? And what, anyhow, it's a really interesting experience, to kind of go through all of that, and gratifying when, you know, when you see them leave, you see them take off, do well. And then really gratifying when you get a Father's Day note from them 5 years later saying, miss you, Dad. You know, and then they let you know they're coming back to visit. And it's just, it's very, very cool. Very cool.
It's a cliche, but I guess you get as much out of it as they do.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. In different ways. Yeah. But yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we've got 2 minutes left. Kids, guys, gals, we're going to play the lightning round game. We're going to hear impressions from all over the world. Everybody in the other room is find a microphone. They're going to be five of them sharing one microphone. This will be fun. I want you to give me your first impression in a word or phrase of what I'm about to say. And I'll start with Houston. Go.
NASA.
Warm.
Rockets.
Big
trucks.
H-E-B.
H-E-B. Wonderful. Anything else? Okay, now, number two. The benefits of studying and traveling abroad. Go.
Life experience.
International family.
New perspectives.
Experience.
Honestly, and pretty much everything.
When also you, resume.
What did he say?
Good for your resume.
Good for your resume. There's a practical guy. When you return to your home country, or in Maddie's case, when you did return to your home country, how will you be a different person than when you left?
Being mature.
More mature?
More passionate and goal-driven.
More passionate and goal-driven.
Socialize.
New responsibilities.
Socialized.
More independent and open-minded.
New responsibilities, more open-minded and independent. Excellent. Okay, now, I think what I'm going to do now is close out by giving you a chance to give a shout-out to anyone, family, friends you'd like to who might be listening. Pearl?
Yeah, couldn't even imagine surviving this year without you. Theo, Michelle, Otto, and Colette.
Good.
My host family for putting up with me this whole year. I love y'all so much. And, of course, my dad.
And that's Ola from the Netherlands. Who else?
Okay, I'll go next. So, first off, he's already right here. It's Pater Pekin, my host dad.
Yeah.
And Liz, who is my host mom. And also my actual dad, mom, sister. I know they're not listening, but thank you so much. I love you. I'll see you in 1 month.
Great. Isn't there someone else in there?
Yeah, I'd like to give a shout out to my mom for allowing me to have a great opportunity to study abroad, even though she didn't want me to go.
And that was Maddie, mom.
I want to shout out, well, first off, my friends at Energy. I love you guys. And the Barnes, my host family. I love you so much.
And that was Adolfo. Wonderful. Well, speaking of thank you, I want to thank each of you. It's hard to believe we're out of time. Tonight, our guests have come from all over the world to take us on journeys. As promised, they've returned us safely home. Pooh, Maddie, Adolfo, Pearl, Ola, and Paul, thank you for being with us on So What's Your Story?
Absolutely our pleasure.
And speaking of returning safely home, we know several of you will be returning home soon, and we wish you a safe journey and a happy reunion with your families and friends, but we hope we can stay in touch and somehow get you back on the show.
Thank you so now much. We got to go back and count these bags of money.
And thank you especially for that. Now, Hank, what you got coming up next week?
Oh, next week, it'll be tough to beat this show, but next week we have a theme, Lingering Love, with Nicole Holloway Spafford, with, remembering all the names, Joanne Williams, and of course, Harwood Taylor, and I'll be telling a little tale as well. It'll be an interesting show. And by the way, as long as I have a second, I want...